every freaking second of the day, I'm going to do it. Everybody wants to be mother freaking wealthy. Are you willing to adapt? Are you willing to change? How uncomfortable are you willing to get? How willing are you going to be to allow me to help you? This is a marathon, not a sprint. You give up your right to be average and ordinary. You gotta show up earlier. You gotta be here later. You gotta hit harder. Be more productive. Be more focused. If you don't see it that way, you will fail at it. You guys have been the pillar and the backbone of Family First Life now for quite some time. Keep growing.
Hello, everyone. Andrew Taylor here. Welcome to the Saturday morning Q&A with Sean Mike. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, buddy.
We're limited on time, so we're going to get straight to it. First question is from at MikeCurry_FFL. How do you see the company changing in 2 years, and how do you see yourself creating that change?
Great question. I think that we are, what we're doing with the workspace is a big change we're involved in now. I think that in 2 years, Mike, I wouldn't be shocked if we had 3,000 to 4,000 offices. I'm not trying to be like, I just think we will. I think we're going to be that big. We're going to certainly be doing billions of dollars of life insurance. I think the bigger part, Mike, is we're going to validate what we do. And what I mean by that is we've taken an industry that in all intents and purposes has been pretty old and stale, you know, from an approach. I mean, I remember when we launched company and, we had a Facebook page, right? We had like 500 people following us. And I remember I was like, man, we get better. Mike Sizer pulled the top 10 insurance carriers we used in their Facebook pages. And he's like, dude, we're not good at social media, but you know, we have more followers than all of them. And it was like, it really struck me that like the industry stuck in kind of its ways for a number of years. So Mike, we're going to continue to adapt. Internet leads will become, they are the present. They are the future. We'll do a lot better job of referrals. I think in the next 2 years, Mike, we're going to learn to, you know, if you've been with us 3, 4, 5 years, you may not necessarily need a lot of leads. We're going to learn to really take our clients and serve them over and over again and serve their friends and family. Cause we don't do a good job of that. It's my fault. We've not done a good job. And I actually did it when I was sold a lot. We don't talk about it a lot. I'm a lot more about that. We're going to talk a lot more about people getting, you know, connected in the office space. We're going to get a lot better at recruiting and contracting. And I think the social media is going to change, right? I mean, if you had asked me 5 years ago, you know, what's TikTok? I don't know. How old's TikTok, Andrew?
Old.
Old. But 5 years ago, who was using it?
Little kids.
We weren't. If you had told me 5 years ago, we are going to be using TikTok and crush it, I'd be like, what is TikTok? You just shown it to me. I've been like, that's weird. So Mike, I've made a commitment to myself to not commit to not be that black and white. Yeah. I'm really going to be very committed to watching what works, not necessarily, and also what doesn't work, and continuing for us to be a disruptor in a positive way in the industry. And by the way, at the end of the day, Mike, all we're trying to do is get more families life insurance. That's it. And make more agents money.
Love it. Next question is from at Michaela Gagner, and it is, in your opinion, what is the biggest strength of our company right now?
I think it's teamwork. I think that we, I think it took us, you know, 5, 6, 7+ years to really be in a place where everybody's truly working together. There's enough business out there, and obviously, I'm sure there's an outlier here and there, but in statistics, you don't focus on the outliers. There's only a couple of them on both ends. We really have if I had a nickel for every person that's been like, man, I'm on so-and-so's team, but I go to the local meeting and the work spots office is here and so-and-so's helped me so much, or I watched this training, or I called this person. I see so many people doing their Zooms and their calls, and there's so many different people working together. And I think no ego. You know, at the end of the day, the way you continue to win at a very high level, is no ego. And a lot of people say that, they don't mean it. It sounds good. It's a good tagline. But when I say it, I just want to win. I've never, ever, ever worried about who's getting the attention, who gets this, who gets that. I just want to win. That's it. And I think, you know, for me, it's one of those things where, you know, when you see the humility that we have and you see the teamwork, I should say everybody, we know that all these, you guys do so many amazing things, yet you stay so humble. And again, there's outliers, but for the most part, I mean, I look at people like I'm talking to Gage Pert, and right, and I'm trying to convince him that he can do so much more. But he's doing like almost 500 grand a month, right? I mean, he's actually like almost kind of like, I'm schizophrenic. He's actually doing really well. Mm-hmm. But I know how well he can do, right?
Yeah.
So, but I'm watching him and he's just so humble about what he's doing. And then he trains and I'm like, dude, I wish I could train like that. Not like, oh, I'm like, dude, he's really good. I wish I could train like that. I'm like, when I was in the field full time, I don't think I trained that good. Like, that's really good. And that's how I think most of our people are they're watching it going, man, and they're so complimentary of each other. It's not this whole, like, let's knock them down, right? You've all been part of deals like that, right? He's doing good. No, he's not. It's like, oh, my God. So, you know, I think that those are our biggest strengths at this point in time.
Now, speaking of ego, I've noticed that a lot of really, really good producers have a hard time building an agency sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any correlation between those two things?
Yeah, I think sometimes they're making so much money they can't focus on it, to be honest with you. And I think sometimes, you know, it's hard not to read your own press clippings, right? Like, I really focus on, and I know I'm a mess. Like, I don't really need the validation. And I am uncomfortable when people, like, I'm very appreciative. When people are appreciative, it really means everything to me. Like, because it's just so nice. And I'm not trying to be funny or, like, all of a sudden get weird on you. I love appreciation. When people are like, hey, thank you for that, I'm like, you're welcome. And, like, that was that makes me feel good. But the attention part, I'm like, he's really good, she's really good, he's really good. Like, let's go talk. I'm here for you, and I'm going to help in any way that I can. But they're really, really good. And then I think part of it, you do that, and then people, like, want to talk to you more because that's weird for people. And I'm not doing it because I want to talk to you more. I'm kind of like, they are really good. Just kind of go do your thing. But I think there's some producers that write quite a bit and kind of go like, well, I think that they accidentally forget that if they make it complicated in training, if they make it about what they're doing and who they are compared to how duplicatable it is. Because if you're crazy good at something, Andrew, but you can't teach me how to do it, and then you let me know how good you are at it, I will self-deprecate. I will, like, defeat myself because I'll say I'm not Andrew. That's all I have to say. I'm not Andrew. Like, I know Andrew's good at it, but I'm not Andrew. Andrew's told me how good he is, even though you've not said, hey, I'm really good. But your training, all the stuff you do, I think sometimes they're so in sales mode that they can't take a step back. Like, I've never heard Nina or Hayden, it's coming to top of my mind, ever heard them talk about how great they are. Mm-hmm. They're like, we buy leads, run a lot of appointments. But, like, they get it. Buy leads, run a lot. And they're good, dude. They're obviously good. I mean, they're good. Buy leads, run appointments. Buy leads, run, which means everybody listening to them is like, buy leads, run appointments. Buy leads, run appointments. Buy leads. Any of us can do that. Makes sense? Yeah. So I think that it's twofold. The money sometimes, but sometimes, yeah, I think we, and you have to be really focused on not reading your own press clippings. Because, hey, by the way, tomorrow's another day. And there's this thin line. I like being in the Dream Center because it's always very humbling. It's like there's a thin line between being in there and not being in there, for me, at least. Yeah. I think for a lot of us, people make mistakes all the time.
What would you say some things of letting someone's ego get in the way of them succeeding would be?
You know, I think that they're threatened by other people. I think I've seen people build an organization and somebody gets really good and they're kind of like, you can see it where it's like, are they really pulling for that person or not? Like, I'm pulling for everybody who's not going to hurt the company. If you're going to hurt the company, I'm not pulling for you. I'm just being honest with you. Like, I can't because you're going to hurt the company. But everybody who's, I don't care how you're winning, what you're doing, as long as everything you're doing is legal and ethical, life is really good. But I've seen people literally not want to build other people up because it takes attention away from them. Mm-hmm. Like, what we've done a really good job of with the training, you can't do when you're egotistical. You couldn't do it. Like, the event you guys just did, if you were all egotistical, you couldn't have done it. You let so many other people train. And people that are like, is Paul McClain a good trainer? He's freaking really good. But did he complain about having 10 minutes? No. No, he did 10 minutes. Did Eric Anthony, who's unbelievable, went and was like, hey, dude, I just want to see it. Like, you have so many new people. Let them roll. I'm here to learn. Yeah. Like, dude, you're doing millions of dollars a month, and you're, like, cool with that. You know, but when you're egotistical, you can't. It's about, look at me. We intentionally, whether it's right or wrong, released the annual convention and some speakers, just a small group to see. And I always wondered who's going to call and go like, hey, am I training? It's like, that's what you're worried about? Like, I would never do. So that ego, you know, people go, well, they have to have a healthy ego to be successful. I'm like, no, they have to have a healthy self-image. And those are different things. You, feeling good about who you are and doing right by people is a healthy self-image. Like, I want to get up early in the morning. I feel like I'm a pretty decent human being. I do the best I can. Maybe I'm a good parent, good, whatever the deal is. But the ego is when it's like, you know, it's a runaway train. So there's a lot of examples, but those are probably the most pointed that I could.
What about somebody thinking like, I could do this better. I could create my own leads. I can do it. They're constantly just trying to find some workaround of how they can do it. They spend all their time doing that and they don't end up making money.
You know, I think some people just want to make it more, they want to make it harder or like more glamorous or sexier, right? Like, dude, what we do is pretty simple. I mean, we get the leads, we take the orders, we do some social media stuff. You all do some pretty cool stuff on social media. That's kind of cool, very creative and much more creative than I am. But I think that it's almost like they just have to have it. That's ego too. It's got to be my way. Let me come up with something my way. It's like, but dude, calling these leads is working. Let's just call these leads. No, I need to do it my, and they don't say it that way. It's like, let me just try something over here. And then they end up in 99 out of 100 times, they're like, I wish I didn't do that. That was a waste of my time, waste of my money. I gave this guy money who's like on Facebook. I shouldn't have done that. So it just puts everybody in a bad spot.
Got it. And then the last two questions we have, or actually one question is from @Lou_Joseph. And it is, what do you envision this partnership to be with WorkSpots in the next 36 months?
You know, it's a great question, Lou. I see us going from the 400 offices we should finish this year with to 4,000 offices. We watched other companies out recruit us, Andrew. That's what we watched. We worked really hard in 2014, 15, 16. We just were like trying to get traction and we were growing, but not the rate we wanted to grow at. And I think that at the end of the day, what was happening was we found out from people that are like, dude, we'd love to join you, but like everything about it, we need local office. Need a place to go. And I think I spent a lot of time going, they don't need that because we didn't have it, right? They don't need that. We don't need that. I didn't need that. And I think I've really learned that it's not, everybody needs something different. Lou, we're also going to partner with, you know, like we partner WorkSpots. They've partnered with so many different companies they're working with. I mean, we have people, like, nice thing about WorkSpots is we have other people. We had a guy the other day in the WorkSpots office are a bunch of people that do like supplemental insurance. They don't work with us. Like, they're just there. And they're like exchanging ideas, talking. This guy was like, I'd like to sell some life. Like, who would have even thought that? Like, they're in the same office and he's like, they rent space and our guys rent space. And he's like, well, I'd like to sell life and me and my group want to sell. I had a PNC guy do the same thing. We've actually had a couple of groups that have joined us. Like, hey, I want to offer other lines. I've seen what you guys are doing. We run by each other in the office, like, which is cool. We're all happy. We're not bothering each other. But allowing people to continue to network and getting our brand out there, you know, obviously with the things we're doing and the discounts they're providing, the lead discounts we've been doing since day one, but getting people in where the guys and girls that are running the offices, because what was happening, Lou, was people were buying or renting offices on their dime. Like, when you bought an office, that was your money. Mm-hmm. Nobody else's money. The office I bought, my money. And then when they need something, your money. Need a podcast room, your money. You know, so it's like at some point in time, that model just, it couldn't grow. It was going to implode. We put too much stress on the 5 or 6 or 7 people getting offices. So kind of said, hey, we got to take a step back and figure it out. We watched other companies using shared workspace companies. We're like, they're smarter than we are. Why aren't we doing that? Like, they can scale that. Ours wasn't scalable. So, Lou, we're going to scale it to 4,000 offices, and we're going to do billions of dollars in insurance, and there's not going to be a place, any state, that you're not going to be able to, like, go buy a bunch of FFL offices. That's even happening now. I had somebody call me the other day, like, hey, is your office in? I'm like, you're outside the office? Like, yeah. I was just driving around. Like, they don't even work with us. Like, it's all the time. I didn't know you had an office there. I didn't have an office there. You got a building over here. You know, so it's really going to allow us to make this thing a real brick and mortar, you know, 4,000 offices in the country. It's going to be huge.
Now, last question. 99% of FFL works together regardless of
100%
who's on whose team.
Correct.
What would you say to the one guy that goes, I don't want to help that guy unless they're on my team, and kind of has that not team player mentality?
Well, I can tell you that FFL is team player mentality and so is integrity. So I don't know what your end game is. I'm not mad. I'm not going to yell and scream. Guy don't want to do it. He doesn't do it. I mean, like, it's his business. I mean, I wish he did it because I think it would make more sense for his business, for the company, for the whole deal. But at the end of the day, I'd probably ask first why. I'm a big fan of that. Like, hey, all right, Andrew, you don't want it, but why? Well, he's not on my team. I'm like, I got that part, but why? Everybody else is doing it. Why are you not? I'm wondering. I don't know the answer. And so before I like discuss it with you, can tell me why. Now, if you go, well, I worked at another company for 10 years and I helped everybody. Okay, got it. Or if you just go, I just don't want to. It's my time. But at the end of the day, I'm not asking you, Andrew, to go out of your way and find everybody and save them. What I'm asking is, like, do we have producers that are really good that never train because they won't share what they do? It's not many. It's a handful. But they just think, like, what I do is I might know, I might say something in the home that's really good, and I'm just not going to share that. It's like, dude, I've always shared everything. Even when you and I worked together before this, a different I had no problem sharing everything. I'm like, here's everything I do in the home, right? Everything I do in the phone in the home, go out work me, dude. And we're on the side. I'm willing to compete. I didn't make a dollar if you made a dollar and vice versa. I had no vested interest in your money, nor did you in mine. But I'm like, I'd like you to win. Like, I want everybody to win. If you win for you, your family, your at the time, your mom, like, go win. And then if you work hard, you'll push me a little bit because I don't want you to, like, smoke me. So, like, I don't know. It just seemed to be good for everybody. But that small group, I tend to leave the outliers alone. I might ask once. They might give me an answer that doesn't make any sense. I might challenge it. I just move on. I don't waste energy there.
Got it. Love it. Well, thank you. Thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you next Saturday, 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 Eastern. And thanks again for coming in.
Got it. Thank you, Andrew.